The Radio Today program with Broadcast Bionics. Innovative solutions for creative radio people.
Greetings from Radio Today. I'm Trevor Down. This is our weekly podcast. And in this episode, more on BBC Pay. Last week, we were talking about the size of some broadcasters' remuneration packages. But over the weekend, the issue shifted to the revelations about the gender pay gap. Why are so many BBC women paid less than BBC men who are doing the same job? Well, 40 or so of them, including big names like Fiona Bruce, Victoria Derbyshire and Claire Balding, signed an open letter to the Director General, Tony Hall, calling on him to act now to correct the disparity. In a rather bland reply, I thought, Tony Hall repeated his commitment to close the pay gap by 2020. But the discussion has rumbled on. So to dig a bit deeper, I've been talking to Radio 4 and 5 Live's Jane Garvey, who drafted the open letter.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.
So, Jane Garvey, head girl of Revolting Women, why did you feel it necessary to write to the DG?
I can't imagine. Why would a load of women be slightly angry with Tony Hall and the BBC in general over the last couple? I just can't imagine, Trevor. Would you have done the same? Well, I mean, I just imagine if it was the other way around. If, for example, Eddie Mair had found out that I was on 350 grand and he was getting 130. And by the way, when I say that, I am acutely aware both figures are utterly ridiculous. And what I'm really, really keen to emphasise in any interview I do over, you know, because it's not going to last. I mean, let's face it, there's an interest this week because it's relatively quiet, but it's all going to go away. I just want to emphasise that the issue isn't going away, but the interest in it is. I really do want to emphasise this is not about getting me or Sarah Montague or Michelle Hussain a pay rise. It is about getting the gender pay gap on the front pages, making it a talking point. And that's what we've done. It's no good me bellyaching about it on Woman's Hour, where I preach largely to the converted. We need to get conversations going on all over the country on this. And we have. And you can't do that without the involvement of someone like Fiona Bruce. It just wouldn't work. We knew that, which is why I needed to get people much, much more famous than me to get involved in it. And actually, brilliantly, they did.
In her article in The Guardian, Rachel Burden, your former Five Live colleague, well, I suppose present Five Live colleague, talks about being...
And friend.
She talks about being belittled by BBC management when you raise this issue. Is that something that you've encountered?
Well, Rachel and I and Jenny Murray have been involved in conversations about our salary for well over a year. And Rachel would not have used that term lightly. She is a brilliant woman. I don't think Rachel's got an enemy in the world, certainly not in the broadcasting world. She's respected, but perhaps more importantly, when it comes to stuff like this, she's trusted and she's liked. If Rachel says that, I believe her. And frankly, I've had similar experiences myself. It's never easy, doesn't matter whether you're a woman or a man, to go into a room and say, I'm really good at what I do, and I would like to be given more money for doing it. It is the single most awkward thing a British person certainly can ever say. But there does seem to be a lot of evidence to suggest that men are quite a lot better at it than women, or that men simply win those arguments more often than women.
Now, on the other hand, this is normally done, this kind of conversation, by your agent. And full disclosure, I have used you in independent productions I've made. I've had conversations with your agent. I've got to say, she drives a pretty tough bargain. I mean, do you blame her and other agents for not prosecuting this enough?
It's a societal issue, isn't it? We're in a situation where my agent, who is, you're right, she's another friend of mine, and she's been involved in the campaign over the last couple of days and helping me out with contacts and all the rest of it. Of course, that is a part of it. But I wonder whether we just got into a situation, all agents got into a situation where they'd learnt to accept over the decades, because that's what we're talking about, that there was a value placed on women and there was a value placed on men, and they were rather different. Well, the evidence proves that, doesn't it? And I'm really keen to... I find it absolutely fascinating that some media commentators... I heard David Elstein the other day saying, the gender pay gap, it's a bit of a distraction because the real issue is about pay transparency, and the BBC will be delighted that all the coverage has been about the gender pay gap. I think it's very easy, if I might say so, for a man of, I don't know how old David Elstein is, I imagine slightly older than me. I also imagine he's a white bloke, and I just don't think people like him have a clue about how indignant and angry women are. And also, by the way, how many good men share that anger and indignation.
I talked to Roger Mosey on this podcast last week, one of your former bosses, and he was saying that the inevitable conclusion of this process will be inflationary, because you'll never get men to be paid less. So to get more equality in pay, you're going to have to pay women more. How do you feel about that at a time of BBC restraint?
I heard Roger, and obviously Roger was the controller of Five Live when I was there. With the greatest respect to him, he's another elderly, middle-aged white bloke who doesn't... What would he know about the situation of a female BBC engineer? Or we have been inundated over the last couple of days. Sarah Montague and other formidable BBC women, I'm accusing myself in formidable, it's not just Sarah, have had stacks of emails from women at all levels of this organisation. Highly respected, well-known, totally unknown, people working in local radio, in regional television. The anecdotes keep pouring in. I tell you, this is not going to go away. It emphatically will not go away. And I think, actually, I'm not asking personally for a pay rise. I would rather some of the men did take a pay cut. Because I also want to emphasise, and this is important, Trevor, that it's been difficult at work this week because I'm not one of the big earners. I earn a ridiculously large amount of money, though, relative to my colleagues. And that affects atmospheres. It isn't a barrel of laughs for a producer on 22 grand to sit next to me, now knowing how much I earn. And it's changing, I think it has changed relationships, I think it's changed atmospheres. And the rest of Britain might as well get to grips with this, because it's going to be happening where you work, wherever you work, over the next year or so.
Jane, in the past couple of decades, we've had four women network controllers. We've got a Deputy Director General now is a woman. We've had two directors of radio. Do you think they've been negligent about this issue?
Well, it is something that I have mentioned. I think I could be wrong because I've talked a lot over the last couple of days. I think I mentioned this on Five Live on Sunday morning when I was interviewed, that I've had female bosses. Helen Bowden was in charge of radio. Before that, she was in charge of news. You'll have to ask her why Helen Bowden and other notable BBC women didn't feel this was important enough an area to do something about. My current controller at Radio 4 is Gwyneth Williams, and I've seen her this week. You won't be surprised to hear. I've seen so many BBC bosses, and I'm seeing another one tomorrow. Or is it Friday? It was interesting. I had an interesting conversation with her, a really, really frank one, and Jenny Murray was there as well. And there seems to be a sort of attitude from and Gwyneth really did allow me to be very plain speaking, that we were sort of all victims of the same thing. In fact, I think she doesn't earn as much as previous Radio 4 controllers.
One of the things that is raised, Jane, is that some of the big names, Nikki Campbell, Eddie Mair and others, have had large hikes to keep them within the corporation because they've been offered big money from outside. I wonder what you think of that, and also from your own point of view, you know, have you had offers from commercial radio, and if you did, where would you go? You know, would you think about leaving?
I'm really glad you asked that, because this question of the market absolutely fascinates me, and that is why I am really anxious to emphasize I am not asking for a pay rise. It isn't about me. I'm angry not that I am underpaid, but that some of these men are inexplicably overpaid. That is what we're getting at. There is no market for me. I mean, let's be honest, there's one other possible employer for me. Because actually, I think unlike some other BBC radio presenters, because I've had experience at Five Live, I've came from local radio, I've hosted music shows, I probably could hold down a job at just flinging somewhere out of, let's say, a London talk station.
a national talk station now, Jane.
Yes, sorry, of course. Whether I'd actually be any good is questionable, but I could have a pop at that. I mean, I'm totally honest with you. I would question whether there was any other, I don't want to pick on Eddie particularly, but is there a market? Would any other radio station in Britain pay Eddie Mair 350 grand?
Well, it's an open question. What do you think of Tony Hall's response to your letter? He says that he wants the BBC to be regarded as an exemplar on gender and diversity. Clearly, there's some way to go. He says he'll get there by 2020. What do you think?
Well, it was the fact that 2020 was 50 years after the Equal Pay Act in 1970 that I think spurred some women into action. Long time to wait, Tony. Look, he is going to be up against it come the end of the summer, because believe me, he is going to be meeting with a group of BBC women who are at the top of their game in every professional way and also really, really determined to do something about this. Not for us. And I've got to, I'm sounding like some mad lentil scoffing harpy, but then essentially that is what I am. But for our daughters. And it interests me particularly because my eldest daughter has just gone into the workplace. She's got a part-time job. You know, time goes very, very quickly when your kids get to this sort of age. And they're going to be part of the workforce, obviously, I really hope so, in the next 10 years or so. I just don't want them and their friends to have to fight the sorts of difficult, awkward battles and to have these excruciating conversations that I have had, certainly over the last year or so. And for us to have to stick our heads above the parapet, and we knew this what has happened this week would happen, which is why I hesitated just up until I pressed send on Saturday night, trust me, thinking, I know what the headlines are going to be. I know people are going to have a propertus. But you know what? There's a principle here. And I really do believe it's worth fighting for.
And it's not just about the BBC, you're saying. This is about industries as a whole. And have you heard from people in commercial radio who've got similar experiences?
I have heard from women I have met. I've heard from women I've never met. I've heard from people I spoke to once in a lift. So I've had some brilliant DMs on Twitter, and I've had emails from people I didn't know I'd given my email address to. And all of them saying pretty much the same thing. This needed doing. Well done to you, and it wasn't just me, by the way, but well done to the BBC women who kind of lanced the boil and got it out there. And let's be also completely honest about the newspapers here. When I've been talking to journalists over the last couple of days, they have all said the same thing. There'll be blood on the carpet here when the truth gets out about who's paid what, who earns what, who's valued the most. The BBC, Tony Hall might be right, the BBC could be an exemplar. It probably already is relative to the rest of the country. But that is absolutely no excuse for perpetuating it.
Jane Garvey, thank you so much for talking to the Radio Today programme. We appreciate your time, which you have given free.
Hang on, who said that?
The splendid Jane Garvey. And by the way, if you are wondering why some of the BBC's high-profile music presenters, Joe Wiley, Sarah Cox, Lauren Laverne, etc., weren't on that list, well, it was simply because Jane didn't have their phone numbers. Plenty more to come on this edition of the Radio Today programme. Davey Lloyd's Radio Moments in a Tick. And first, Stu Clarkson.
Thank you, Trevor. Bit of a quieter week this week for radio industry news after the excitement of BBC Pay last week. Well, Commercial Radio's trade body Radio Centre says it wants Ofcom to strengthen the proposals in the draft operating licence for the BBC. Radio Centre says there are fewer conditions proposed for BBC radio services in the draft document than previously required by the BBC Trust. You can see Radio Centre's full response to the Ofcom consultation at radiotoday.co.uk. Elsewhere, BBC Radio has been celebrating 60 years of Test Match Special this week with a special programme on air. Celebrity TMS listener Theresa May even sent an audio message of congratulations to the programme for reaching the milestone. Radio 1's big weekend is getting bigger for 2018. BBC Music's announced plans for The Biggest Weekend, which will take place at the end of May next year. It'll be a four-day festival over four sites, one each in England, Scotland, Wales and Northern Ireland, with all of the BBC's music radio stations coming together for the event as there's no Glastonbury in 2018. Canshee Radio has been fined £17,500 by Ofcom for airing potentially offensive and harmful content. The satellite station played the song Pinky Pinky in Punjabi twice last year. It includes many of the most offensive swear words, which put the station in breach of the Ofcom code. Radio 4's new theatre show will start next week. The first episode of Opening Night will go out on the 5th of August. It's going to be broadcast from the Edinburgh Festivals. The monthly programme will move around the country, with different hosts each edition. And changes at Heart Four Counties this week. The former Blue Peter presenters Stuart Miles and Katie Hill have left the station's breakfast show. Ivan Berry and an as-yet unnamed co-host will take over the show in late August. And if you want to get the latest radio news daily as it happens, then check out radiotoday.co.uk.
Phone calls, social media, SMS, email, codec control and visualisation through the same interface. Phone box from Broadcast Bionics. Welcome to the social studio at bionics.co.uk.
Radio Moment, David Lloyd.
1 year ago this week, and a farewell from Chelsea.
So I've worked for Key103 on The Breakfast Show for 11 years now, and I've got to say, it's been amazing. We've been to and seen some really great places, definitely met some inspirational people along the way. However, sometimes change is necessary, and I wanted to share with you all this morning that I am leaving the show. And, you know, I want to say a massive, massive thank you to everybody here at Castle Key in the building, to everyone for listening, for sharing all of your lives with me all of these years. And I will very much miss talking to you.
Chelsea Norris saying farewell from Key 103 this week last year. Saying goodbye from your radio station is often a poignant moment or an angry moment. Depends on who you are and what they've done.
But, the BBC have cancelled the show for financial reasons. And so,
but
don't worry, we'll keep you right across any drain blockages over there. And see, here's the thing about this show. As much as, you know, kind of the local reporting has its place and all of that, that's all a lot of people know. And they think that brings Londoners together. They have no idea.
This is probably going to get self-indulgent. And it risks really turning into sentimental hogwash.
Okay.
So I just wanted to start by warning you of that. And if you want to go away and listen to some songs on Spotify, then feel free to.
The studio is filled up. Hi, everyone. Radio 1 is here. Am I allowed to say, do join me if you can, Saturday nights from 10 on Radio 2. Listen, I've just said an absolute ball. Thank you so much, it's Sarah Cox.
I want to thank you because I've made some great friendships with you all. It's been fantastic. I know so many people all over the UK and all over the world who have been very kind to me, and I really appreciate all your support and all of your emails. And I thank you for your time, and I thank you for letting me into your lives. and this is my final to you.
The time has sadly come for us to say goodbye. Want to leave you all with a tear in your eye. We've had a lot of fun. We moaned when we were tired. And every single month we came close to being fired. So thanks for tuning in. But now it's time for us to say goodbye.
But for now, this is Alice Arnold, not only wishing you a very good night, but also saying goodbye. It's been a pleasure. And thank you so much for listening.
There's going to be some changes here at BBC Radio Oxford. I'm really sad to tell you that after 2 years presenting this show and trying to make it the very best it can be, a show with hopefully a likeable personality, one that doesn't take itself too seriously. A programme that still gives you all the news and information that you expect. But above all, a show that is about you, the audience, the people who ultimately matter. But unfortunately, it appears that's not enough, certainly in the view of our temporary managing editor anyway.
Changes are being made here that go against my principles, and I just cannot agree with them.
From me, David Hamilton, this is our last song together. Sometime, somewhere, we'll meet again. Bye-bye.
That's the world tonight. For the last time, this is Robin Lustig. So good night, and good luck.
You've allowed me to share your lives with you. When you tell me how important I've been in your lives, you've been every bit as important in mine.
Days of devils, kings and clowns.
Compare and contrast. Danny Baker, Jeff Lloyd, Sarah Cox, Janice Long, Chris Moyles, Alice Arnold, Howard Bentham, DLT, David Hamilton, Robin Lustig and Terry Wogan. My advice is think of the listeners, not your bosses, and think of your future.
This will be
this week, 24 years ago, a junction for commercial radio's first long-running weekly syndicated show.
Hi there, this is
the network chart with the sounds that rain down all over Britain via the SMS satellite. And for the last time on the network chart, this is Kid Jensen, turning up the heat for the feet with the hottest top 40 in the UK. And from the corridors in the Gallery of the Greats, we hear a network chart nugget from Europe.
The final network chart with Kit Jensen this week in 93. And we were all very excited about the network chart. Used to get all those Nescafe giveaways, didn't we? Oh, the excitement. At launch, the chart was in mono down the IRN line, as you may remember, and it became the Pepsi chart and now the big top 40. As we start to celebrate Radio 1's 50th, we know there'll be a place to remember what began this week 44 years ago.
Good morning, Tone.
Morning,
we're all ready and raring to go out here.
How many people have you got today? It must have topped the 10 million mark.
Well, speaks for itself, doesn't it? See you tomorrow, Tone.
See
cheers.
You, bye. Radio 1,
Roadshow. Today, live from St George's Park in York.
Easy Life's opinions do not represent the opinions of Steve Wright or the BBC. Have you been at the thesaurus? Here we go with Kyla Robinson from Lancaster. Okay, and
good afternoon. Welcome to the Radio 1 Roadshow live from Cranfield Airport. The crowd is magnificent. We're going to have a fantastic time this afternoon. Hope you're going to stick around to get us underway. Here's Blancmange and Don't Tell Me.
Today. Live from Cornish Leisure Worlds and Hostel with Simon!
Make me feel welcome, Miss. Go on. Thank you very much. Hello, good morning. We're live from St. Austell at Cornish Leisure Worlds. Skies are grey, but temperatures are rising. We have high hopes of a monster.
I suspect every broadcaster in Britain wishes that one day they could play to that crowd. So with Ocean and 2CR evolving into Heart South Coast 7 years ago, Ocean FM. The Light Programme launching on Longwave 72 years ago.
Good morning, everyone.
Radio 2 changing its sonic logo 4 years ago. Edmonds back on BBC Radio 14 years ago.
Welcome to Drive Time. I'm Noel Edmonds, and I'm really delighted to be here.
Tony Blackburn making his debut on Caroline South 52 years ago.
Radio Caroline, Britain's first commercial radio station.
Chris Boyle's arriving at Radio 1 20 years ago.
What are you wearing at the moment? Describe the outfit you're wearing and don't lie.
And Sonovox arriving 78 years ago.
Radio Moments.
Those are this week's Radio Moments.
David Lloyd concludes this week's Radio Today programme. Thanks to him, Stu Clarkson, and of course Jane Garvey. It was a TDC production, and there'll be more next week. Join us if you can. Ta-da.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creating and distributing clever software for radio.